Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Mulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Bala in tasbiru wa tattaqu wa ya'tukum min fawrihim hadha yumdidkum rabbukum bi 3,000 min al malaikati munzalin. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Mawlaya salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Being the 17th of Ramadan, today is a very historic day in the history of Islam. And the reason for it being a historic day is that this was the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed the Muslims with a very, very great victory. It was a decisive day. It was a deciding day between Iman and Kufr, where a small group of 313 ill-equipped Sahaba radiallahu anhum were victorious over a large army, well-equipped, 1,000 strong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved to the world that His deen is not dependent on means, rather it is the power of Iman and A'mal that will prevail. Therefore the Quran Sharif refers to this day as Yawmul Furqan, the day of criteria, the day that was a deciding day between Iman and Kufr. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed the Muslims in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1442 years ago, 1,442 years ago, Allah had blessed the Muslims with this great victory. In the similar manner, we are all hopeful and desirous that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this day also a day of victory for the Ummah at large. The various challenges that the Ummah is facing, especially currently our brothers in Palestine and the difficulties that they are going through, the various types of restrictions that are being placed on Masjid al-Aqsa, etc. So we are also desirous that the Ummah must once again be victorious. And similarly, in our personal challenges, every one of us have our own small battles that we are facing, our personal challenges. And in these challenges, we also hope that we can be victorious and we can overcome these challenges. So how do we attract this help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had attracted? That's the important question. For us to get this help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do we get this help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There was a famous Urdu poet, Maulana Zafar Ali Khan. In his very famous poetry, he mentions, Fizaye badar peda kar farishte teri nusrat ko, utar sakte hai gardo se qatar andar qatar abbi. He says, create the environment and atmosphere of Badr. Create the atmosphere and environment of Badr. The farishtas, the angels that came down to assist the Muslims in Badr, those same angels that can still come down from the skies, from the clouds, and they can come in groups and groups and they can assist you. So, the important point, in order to secure this help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as some of our ulama explained, they say that the Allah that helped the Muslims in Badr is the same Allah. The angels are still there. If there's anything that has changed, it is the Ummah that has changed. There was a certain type of Ummah at that time that drew the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is the Ummah today that cannot draw that help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this poet says, Fizae Badr Peda Kar. Create this atmosphere of Badr. Now what is this atmosphere of Badr? And how do we create this atmosphere of Badr? Obviously the incident of the battle is very lengthy and we don't wish to go into the details of the incident. But just three important points that we can perhaps take, which will explain to us what was the atmosphere and environment of Badr. So that we can bring these things in our life and inshallah we can create this atmosphere of Badr if we cannot do it in the entire world, at least in our own lives we can make this type of revolution. And inshallah we can also draw down this help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which came and assisted the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And in such a remarkable way, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. Some Sahal bin Hunayf radiallahu anhu says that at times we would be pursuing an enemy, and before we can even strike, we see his head rolling off his body. This was how Allah assisted the Sahaba radiallahu anhu in Badr. إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَ أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ فَثَبِّتُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a message to the angels, inspired them, that I am with you, so give assistance and help to the people of Iman. Allah explained to them how to fight. فَضْرِبُوا فَوْقَ الْأَعْنَاقِ وَضْرِبُوا مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَانِ. Strike above their necks and strike at their fingertips. Sahaba radiallahu anhu explained that there was a marked difference between those that were killed at the hands of human beings, at the hands of Sahaba, and those that were killed at the hands of the angels. Those were the killed that were killed at the hands of the angels, there was like a black mark on the spot where they would be attacked and struck, and like a burnt mark that they would have on their body. And in this way we would be able to differentiate those that were killed by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and those that were killed by the Malaika and the angels. So in this way, Sahaba radiallahu anhum witnessed themselves with their own eyes. Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, in his old age when he lost his eyesight, he mentioned to someone that if I had my eyesight, I would take you to the battlefield of Badr and I would show you the exact spot from which the Malaika came down. So it was so certain that the Malaika came and assisted them. Now how do we attract this help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the assistance of the Malaika? The Malaika are still there. Malaika still assist people of Iman. Various ahadith and ayat of Quran explain on various occasions how we get the help of the Malaika. So the important point is to create this atmosphere of Badr. Just three aspects for us to understand what was the atmosphere of Badr. What was the frame of mind at that time? So the first one, just different snippets from the various aspects of the battle. Before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam even went to the plains of Badr, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed that the Quraysh have now departed with a fully equipped army and it's going to be a full blown war, they came out with the intention of pursuing the caravan of the Quraysh. So they were not prepared for war. It was just a caravan that they were going to pursue and they were going to intercept the caravan of Abu Sufyan. But now the scenario changed drastically and it was a fully fledged war that was unfolding. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now makes mashura with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he asked them that what should we do? Should we go ahead and face this army? We did not leave Medina Munawwara with this intention. He makes mashura with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The importance of mashura we understand from here. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a Nabi of Allah, yet he would make so much of mashura with Sahaba that in the narration of Sunan Tirmidhi, perhaps Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentions that I did not see anyone consult more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would consult so often. So he makes mashura with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave his full support. Then Umar radiallahu anhu gives his full support. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still asks for more opinions. He asks again. And then Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anhu stands up. And he so to say, stole the show on that day. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that I had witnessed one occasion where Miqdad radiallahu anhu had done such a thing that I desire, if I can give everything of the world, everything of the material, just to get that one privilege that Miqdad radiallahu anhu had. And that was the answer that he gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this occasion. What did he say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we will not give you the same reply that the Banu Israel had given Musa alayhi salam. لا نقول لك كما قال قوم موسى لموسى. What did the Banu Israel say to Musa alayhi salam when they were commanded to fight against the Amalika, a very strong and powerful nation? They said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا هاهنا قاعدون. You and your Rabb can go and fight. We're not moving from here. We're sitting right here. We're not moving. So he says, we will not give that answer. we will not forsake you at this moment. Rather, he says, وَلَكِنَّا نُقَاتِلُ عَنْ يَمِينِكُ وَعَنْ شِمَالِكُ وَمِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْكُ وَمِنْ خَلْفِكُ. We will fight on your right, on your left, in front of you and behind you. You have our full support. So Rasulullah ﷺ was very delighted. Nabi ﷺ made dua for him. And Nabi ﷺ was extremely happy with Sayyidina Miqdad radiallahu anhu's answer. But Nabi ﷺ did not stop. Again he asked. He asked again for an opinion. So at this point, at this juncture, the leader of the Aws, one of the main tribes of the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara, Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he realizes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants an answer from the Ansar. And the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted an answer from the Ansar is because when the Ansar had pledged to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Hajj, on the occasion of Aqaba, they had given Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam their pledge that when you come to Madinah Munawwara, we will protect you just as we protect our wives and our children as long as you are in Madinah Munawwara. So we'll give you our full protection in Madinah Munawwara. So the undertaking that they had taken was, in Madinah we will protect you. Now they were far out of Madinah Munawwara. It was not binding on the Ansar now to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to fight alongside Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to know what was their feeling, what was their take on the issue, whether they will be with him in this battle or not. So Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu speaks. When he realizes this, he says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seems like you want to know the view of the Ansar. And then he says that I am the spokesman of the Ansar. I am speaking on behalf of my people. And very remarkable words he mentions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, offering their full support. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you may continue, you may do as you want. فَمْضِي فَضْعًا حَيْثُ شِئْتْ وَسِلْ حَبْلَ مَنْ شِئْتْ وَقْطَعْ حَبْلَ مَنْ شِئْتْ سَالِمْ مَنْ شِئْتْ عَادِ مَنْ شِئْتْ خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا مَا شِئْتْ. O Nabi of Allah, do as you please. Whatever you want to do, you may do. We will give you our full support. We are people that are very loyal at the time of war. Our full support is with you. You can travel wherever you want to go. You may join ties and make peace treaty with whomsoever you want. You may fight against whomsoever you want. And you may take from our wealth whatever you want. And then he did not stop there. Rather, he went one level beyond. And this was Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَخَذْتَ مِنَّا كَانَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْنَا مِمَّا تَرَكْتَ. Not only take what you want, O Nabi of Allah, what you take is more beloved than what you leave behind. We will give in the path of Allah and you'll be happy that Allah accepted my wealth in the path of Allah. Not that I'm doing it grudgingly, because I have to give my zakat, I'm giving my zakat. Because I have to give some sadaqah, I'm giving the sadaqah. No, I'm happy Allah is giving me this opportunity. Allah is accepting my wealth for his deen. I must be happy and appreciative for this favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, O Nabi of Allah, what you take is more beloved than what you leave behind. And he goes on to say, O Nabi of Allah, if you go and dive into the ocean, لَخُضْنَاهُ مَعَكُ, we will dive behind you in the ocean also. So full support from Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this is perhaps the first point that we can take. That environment, that atmosphere of Badr, was that atmosphere, was the mindset of Taslim, the mindset of submitting everything for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is the command of Allah, whatever is the dictate of deen at any juncture of my life, and whatever it may relate to in my life, whether it is my social life, my business life, my marital life, whether it is my janazah, whether it is my marriages, any aspect of my life must be totally governed by the laws of Shariat and by the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they gave full cooperation. O Nabi of Allah, whatever is your desire is our desire. Not just your desire is our desire, whatever is your desire is our happiness. It will bring joy to us, it will bring happiness to us. So when we also are prepared to sacrifice our emotions, to sacrifice our intelligence, to sacrifice our physical selves for the commands of Allah and for the likes and desires of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshallah we will also attract this help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had done. The second aspect with regards to the environment of Badr. What was the environment of Badr? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do as a means of preparation on the occasion of Badr for this great war? The night before the battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored the Sahaba radiallahu anhum with a very special favor. They were about to fight a very, very difficult battle the next day. A very challenging battle. It was the first major battle that in Islam. On that night, imagine what must have been the emotions of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. What would have been the state of fear prior to that battle? Most probably under normal circumstances, a person will not be able to sleep. The entire night he will be awake. And then obviously the next day it will be difficult for him to be productive and for him to fight, because he did not have a good night's sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum with this favor, that sleep overcame all the Sahaba. إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْ Allah speaks about it in Surah Al-Anfal. That sleep came over you as a means of consolation, as a means of comfort from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the Sahaba were fast asleep. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the entire night preceding the battle in dua. The entire night was spent in salah and in sajda, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the words that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was repeatedly mentioning in sajda, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Oh that being who is ever living, Oh that being who is ever living, and Ya Qayyum, Oh that being who sustains and maintains everything. The existence of everything is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is always aware, Allah is always living, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who takes care of everything. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sajda, he continuously repeats these words. Then on the morning of the battle, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranges the lines for fighting, for combat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave instruction. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into a hut that was built for him. And in this hut, what does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole night was spent in dua. And then again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He begs Allah, he implores Allah. Maddan yadayhi, with his hands, with his mubarak hands stretched out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua and begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In what words? Various words Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. One of the famous words that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned at that time, Allahumma anjiz li ma wa'attani. Oh Allah, you fulfill the promise that you made. The promise of help and assistance that you made to me. Oh Allah, you fulfill this promise. Allahumma in tahlik hadhi al-isaba la tu'bad fil ard. Oh Allah, if this small group of people of Iman has to be wiped out today, if this group of people of Iman have to be wiped out today, there will be no Iman and no Deen left. Who will be there to worship you? Who will be there to continue this message of Iman? So in this way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he implores Allah, and he cries to such an extent that the shawl that he was covering his upper body falls off his Mubarak shoulders. The shawl falls off the Mubarak shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way in which he was begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His very dear companion and friend, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was with him at that occasion, he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He takes the shawl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replaces it on the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, embraces Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from behind, and he says, Kafaka munashadatuka rabbak, O Nabi of Allah, enough. You have begged Allah and you have implored Allah too much. Allah's help is definitely going to come. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues making dua for some time. Until after some time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dozes off for a very short moment. And then he wakes up, his eyes open, and he smiles, and he says, Abshir ya Aba Bakr, O Abu Bakr, glad tidings, faqad ataka an-nasr. The help of Allah has come. I can see Jibreel. holding the reins of his horse and he's coming onto the battlefield. This is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam begged Allah until the help of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala came. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu says that I was engaged in combat. After a little while I came to look, what is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing? I see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in sajda, repeating the words, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. I go back onto the battlefield. I come back after a little while. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is still in sajda. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. I go back and I come again. He's still in sajda, begging Allah, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. On the fourth time when I came, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who had come out from his sajda, and he says that the help of Allah is coming. And then there was three gusts of wind. Three gusts of wind that came. In the first gust of wind was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with 1,000 angels. In the second was Mikael alayhi salam with 1,000 angels. In the third was Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam with 1,000 angels. This is how the angels and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had come. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam begged and made dua in such a manner that he says, in my entire life, I did not see anyone begging for anything and asking for anything like how I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam begging on the day of Badr. So this is the second aspect, and that is the aspect of turning to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, begging from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, imploring Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Unfortunately, this aspect of dua is leaving us as an ummah. We have our problems, we will look for various solutions, but the universal solution that we have, the guaranteed solution that we have, we may not have numbers, we may not have armies, we may not have countries. Our brothers in Palestine are weak compared to the armies that are around them. But what we have is we have this weapon of dua, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Silahul Mu'min. It is the weapon of a believer. This is the weapon that Allah has given us. Let us capitalize on these opportunities, especially in the month of Ramadan, at the time of Sihri, at the time of Iftar. The last 10 nights are coming. These are nights for dua. In this masjid, we don't need to explain anything further. These walls bear testimony to the dua that was made in this masjid. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali, the way he taught us to make dua, he taught the ummah how to make dua. For long, long periods, Hazrat Maulana used to make dua, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't know what dua to make, let us read the dua kitab of Hazrat Maulana. Let us listen to the duas of Hazrat Maulana and we will learn how to make dua. So let us capitalize on these opportunities. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever problems we have, put it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have various challenges, financial issues. We have social issues. Sometimes it's some issue in the marriage. Sometimes it's some issue with the children. Let us beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was promised the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet he begged Allah so much, how much more time we need to be taking out to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second aspect in through which we can create that environment of Badr. The first is that total submission to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Putting the pleasure of Rasulullah SAW before our pleasure. The desire of Rasulullah SAW before our desire. The second aspect is that we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third aspect, which has been explained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Quran Majeed. When Allah discusses the incident of Badr, when Allah speaks about the malaika coming down, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bala in tasbiru wa tattaqu. Allah speaks about two qualities, the quality of sabr and the quality of taqwa. Allah says that if you have sabr and taqwa, and your enemy has to come, then the malaika will come and assist you. Malaika who will be marked, malaika who will have some type of distinguishing feature on them, those kind of malaika will come and assist you. So Allah gave us the secret in the Quran Majeed. What was that secret of Sahaba radiallahu anhum that attracted the help of the malaika? It was this aspect of sabr and taqwa. When we speak about sabr, normally we restrict it. If someone passes away, I must make sabr. I go through some type of disaster, some type of catastrophe, I must make sabr. Sabr is more broad than this. Sabr has three aspects, three angles to sabr. One is sabr al-ita'ah, that we persevere in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of Fajr, we require sabr to persevere, to wake up and come to the masjid. Not only in the month of Ramadan, but throughout the year, Fajr is compulsory. And we need to be coming to the masjid throughout the year. So we require sabr at that time. Then sabr anil ma'siyah, that to resist from temptation, resist from sins, from breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also one aspect of sabr. And the third aspect of sabr is the sabr that we know that when some difficulty comes, then we bear the difficulty with patience and being pleased with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one quality that Allah speaks about that attracted the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second quality, the quality of taqwa. The consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At every given time, we are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do those things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we stay away from all those things that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan teaches us both. Shahru sabr. It's a month of sabr. It's a month of persevering. It's a month of patience. And at the same time, it's a month which is a training process for taqwa. In this month, we are trained to develop taqwa. That throughout the day, we do not eat, we do not drink, we do not fulfill our desires. Why? Because of the consciousness that my Allah is watching me. Therefore, we don't do these things because we are conscious that Allah is watching. Now, this needs to be applied to every other aspect of our life and to every other month of the year, that we do not break any command of Allah because we are conscious that my Allah is watching me. So these are the two qualities that Allah speaks about, sabr and taqwa. If we develop these qualities, and the month of Ramadan is that ideal time to develop these kind of qualities, inshallah, we will create that atmosphere of Badr, and we will create that mindset of Badr, and that condition of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, which attracted the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To conclude again, with that words of poetry, Fizaye Badr Peda Kar, Farishte Teri Nusrat Ko, Utar Sakte Hai Gardo Se Qatar Andar Qatar Abbi. That create that environment of Badr, the angels can still come down from the skies, from the heavens. In groups they can come down to assist you. And as we explained, three aspects in creating that environment of Badr. The first aspect is total submission to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the desires of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This must take preference in our life. Secondly, that to implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create this habit of begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, the two qualities of sabr and taqwa, inshallah, if we develop this, then we will also draw and attract the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the ummah throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again bless the ummah with those glorious days. Allah bless us with victories like the victory of Badr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to manage our own personal challenges as well, and grant us victory over nafs and shaitan and the various attacks of nafs and shaitan. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mulana muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma lakal hamdu kullu. ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وأهل بيته وذريته ومحبيه وأتباعه وأشياعه وعلينا معهم أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم انصر أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ردنا ورد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم أهي الدين كله في العالم كله لا يوم القيامة واجعلنا سببا لذلك اللهم أقر أعيننا بإعادة المسجد الأقصى إلى بلاد المسلمين اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا اللهم احفظ المسجد الأقصى من اليهود الغاصبين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله، وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.